T-minus 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Tower cleared.
Here, we got a roll program.
And as Apollo 11 does its roll program, this podcast now does its roll program. The tape is rolling. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. My name is Grant Cameron, and you're listening to the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. Thank you for taking time from your life to be here.
Got your message a couple minutes ago for your phone number. So, I don't know what you really want to discuss, whether you just want to discuss the Friedman thing or these documents that have leaked. I don't know what you...
Well, the documents, the only thing I wanted to explain is that those documents, the documents I haven't seen before, but the information contained in those documents are accurate. There was a discussion, there was emails being sent between a number of different people during the time I worked for Dr. Putoff. And so the contents are real. I mean, that's legitimate information. Now, I don't know about the actual documents, if somebody retyped the documents based on the conversations we had during that time frame of 1998 to 2001. I don't know. I looked at those documents. I've examined those documents. I've seen one of them, the one email that Dr. Putoff sent, but I haven't seen any of those others, and nor have I've ever had any discussions with Eric Davis. I don't remember him being that much involved in that time frame and that conversations that a number of people were having during that time frame.
He was sort of a junior guy, though, right?
Without me knowing it.
Yeah, he was sort of a junior guy, like the Avery, like Putoff and Green and Alexander. They're all like a generation older than, I think Eric had, my understanding was because he was the chief physicist, he got to hang around these guys, but he wasn't really one of them. Because it was like just basically, and you can maybe correct me on this with the Avery ideas, is you a bunch of guys just exchanging messages who had run up against the phenomena in their careers at some point, and they were just talking about each other, correct?
Right. The Avery was started by the actual names of Avery, the bird names were coined by Jamie Shandera. He created those names for us. Well, it was some time it was probably a year into our meetings that we realized that we had names.
Yeah.
And it was, and so we, we took the names. We thought we joked about them. We didn't really pay much attention to them. Others used them, such as Robert Collins was using them to identify people, but the main players, we didn't use them ourselves, but they did. So that's how that part of the Avery. Now, Eric Davis, he was a mathematician, for Dr. Putoff.
Yeah.
He worked for the Institute for Advanced Studies, and he's a real brilliant mathematician.
Yeah.
And he would, work on, mathematical problems that they developed during some of the studies that Hal was doing. But I didn't really work with him much. He was there in the office, and he had his own kind of circle. I think he had an assistant, a graduate assistant out of University of Austin, a guy. who later became a big wheel in DARPA some years later. But so I can only say that most of that information I've seen before, I've heard before, but not in the context that was released.
And what about the alien autopsy? Were they discussing this, or because that kind of caught me by surprise when I saw the document that they were sort of confirming.
We had long discussions about the alien by Santelli's alien autopsy. We met in person in Austin and Houston, and I think once in Detroit up at Dr. Green's. Office about the autopsies. We had actually brought in a former retired a pathologist with the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology in Washington, and we sat one night for probably six, seven, 8 hours watching and going over these films piece by piece by piece. And they were being analyzed by the doctor. I'm not a doctor, and I'm not a medical person, so I can't comment on what was being done there, and whether it was legitimate or it was made up or what. But so those discussions were done, and they were made for many months. So we did discuss it.
Okay. Can I, the first time you talked, I heard you talk about working for Putoff was in April at that conference that you were at. Was this public knowledge, or what did Putoff say when you suddenly identified the fact that you worked for him? Because that kind of caught me by surprise.
Well, he couldn't say much because it was the truth. I started working for him about 94. And I worked for him through part of 96, at 2006.
So you're a consultant, or what are you doing for?
I was a researcher. I was a technical consultant. Okay. I went around the country contacting people for him, obtaining information from scientists who had retired, worked on the project, and retired. I gathered information for him, so that was basically what I did for that time period.
So he's just a guy that's really intrigued at what's going on, trying to figure it out. Do you know, there was a story put out by Sarfati that Putoff had an experience. Do you know that he's had some sort of experience that got him into this, or why is he so interested in this?
Well, Dr. Putoff, he started out at SDI in the 70s and remote viewing.
Yeah.
And there was a incident that occurred by a remote viewer and what the remote viewer saw. And that got not only him, but many, many, many others within that a close-knit family of remote viewers interested in the subject.
Wow.
He might have had some other experience that I didn't know about, but Dr. Putoff had been briefed into the program years ago. I mean, he was a top scientist, and he worked for DARPA, and DARPA would give him these small devices or an advice and asking to try to figure out how they worked. And what he was getting was an alien device, a communications device or some kind of device from a ET ship. And although they didn't tell Hal this is from an ET ship, Hal could figure it out by the electronics, the complexity of it, the fact that none of the parts or none of the items inside that he'd ever seen before, or nobody could identify him, or the fact that nobody could identify how this thing worked, because it didn't operate under any kind of physics or mechanical you know, the knowledge that we knew. So Hal did that.
Wow.
So he knew that what he was doing was in the realm of ET stuff.
Can I ask about the tech? That leads to the question about technology. Eric Davis has put out the story that 89, they shut down the crash saucer program because they couldn't figure out anything. You hear all these stories about, you know, we're going to the stars, we got this, we got that, all this kind of stuff. So what's your understanding of, have we figured this thing out, or are we in the dark?
Well, I tell you, from the early, when I was briefed into the program in 1979, I knew then that we had captured ships, we had captured alien devices and communications devices, and so forth. But we didn't know how they worked. We had a propulsion system from an ET device, a ship that we couldn't understand. And what they would do is when our technology has advanced, about every 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years, they go back and get this device and look at it and bring in these top scientists and say, okay, now maybe we can figure out now because our technology had advanced. And they'd work on it for a year or two, and they'd say, no, we can't. So they'd put it away, and then four or five years later, they'd bring it back out. And they've done that, and they probably are doing it right now. And that's how and sometimes they do find out something develop some method to figure it out, and then at other times they haven't. And so Eric was right that in 89, that time period, they had a device, they had an engine or a propulsion system that they couldn't understand. They thought they could, and there was a lot of tests that were being done out at Groom Lake and out at the Nevada test site, which resulted in some really catastrophes. Because they didn't really know what they were working on. So then in about 89, they put that thing away saying, you know, we don't understand it. We're going to have to advance our technology by 20, 30 years before we can really figure this thing out.
Another question. You were good friends, I think, with Kit Green. And if you were to read the end of the document, everybody's brought up this thing about the fact that they say there's no abductions. And if you go back to about 12 years ago, Kit Green says that on a chat board. So what's your interpretation? Why is that in the document? Is that for real? What do you make of that thing where Kit Green is saying and these people are saying, and I think Ballet even made some sort of reference to that as well, that we may be misunderstanding what the abduction phenomenon is all about.
Well, I was never really briefed into the abduction thing when I was working for the intelligence. I knew DIA had a special team of people that were investigating abduction, alien abductions, and I wasn't part of that, so therefore I didn't have a clearance for it. Kit might have had, I don't know, and so I don't know what, you know, I don't know what Kit knew, so it's hard for me to comment on that.
Yeah, it's just kind of strange that they would put this thing, because if you watch the debate on the documents, that's one thing people are bringing up, that couldn't possibly be true, this thing where there are no abductions, where they're making this statement. So, so what do you mean in your end result? What do you think do you think this is ET phenomena? Do you think we've come a long way on this thing, or where do you think we're at with this thing?
Well, I think we've came a long way, but again, I'm not currently involved in it, so I can't tell. And I don't have a clearance anymore, so I don't know what they really have. I mean, I have friends in the business.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Leak things here and there, but I think we've come a long way from 1989. Obviously, we've come some 30 some years, and I think we've as far as technology, we have come a long way, and I believe that we do understand a lot more now than we do about the energy device, the communications device, and about the propulsion we developed a more of an understanding now than we did back in the 80s.
I think Semivan put out and Diane Pasolka put out this thing about the Cosmic Club. Do you know if this exists? Are you still in contact with these people? Are they still sending emails around among each other? I would assume they are. because they're calling it the Cosmic Club, semi-vances, there's 50 people involved, almost like a sort of a new Avery type thing where, you know, these people who can't talk publicly are sort of talking to each other. Have you heard about this, or is there still
communication? No, I know about it, and I get some emails from that group, and I shudder to think of what they're talking about, because a lot of which, and they're doing it just on regular email, not on any kind of secure system, a lot of what they're talking about is classified, or at least should be classified. And so I don't comment, I don't send any emails in response, because I don't want the FBI knocking on the door. I'll read them, but that's about all I'll do, and then I'll destroy them. I'll wipe my, I have a special type of computer with a separate hard drive that goes in, a lot of stuff goes into it. I'll just cleanse it, because I don't want it on my computer.
They are
talking about things, and there's probably more than 50 people. I would say probably a minimum of 100.
Okay.
They're not always on the same stream, but there's different people at times discussing this topic.
Yeah. You mentioned the FBI. What do you think of the whole FBI thing with Stanton? Why were they looking at Stanton?
Well, Stanton had a couple of problems. Number one, Stanton, he had a passport problem. And we knew this a long time ago. It's not new. I mean, it's new, and new for a lot of people that didn't know about it. But Stanton talked about this at a UFO convention back in 2000. I don't remember now what year. It was in the early 2000s. He talked about the problem he had with his passport, and there was false information, and there was an AKA, also known as, where he used a different name. So that part of it is not new to the people that followed, or the close people within the UFO community, because Stan openly talked about it, and he actually joked about it. Now, another thing that Stan had was the fact that he was a keeper of some very highly classified documents. Somebody gave him these documents back in the late 70s, and they were really highly classified.
Okay.
And he kept them. He then gave them to another person. Linda Howell got involved in it. They thought at that point that Linda Howell, that Stan Friedman was a source of information for Linda Howell, got somewhat complex. Bill Moore even got involved in it back then. It was the early 80s. And then the FBI started an investigation on him to determine whether and how he got this classified information. So all those documents that were released, if you look at a lot of them that was blacked out, that all pertains to classified information and sources that were relating to the FBI that Stan Friedman had or disseminated classified information.
Okay.
Now, he was never prosecuted because it was never proven. The U.S. attorney in Washington declined to prosecute because it just wasn't enough.
Okay.
It wasn't any smoking gun, so to speak.
Hmm. And going back to the initial group of Chandray, Moore, and Friedman, what's the deal with Chandray? Because now there's this sort of idea people are looking at, like, nobody really knew who he was. Was he really a producer? Why did he get the documents? I think Moore at one point stated that he'd done some work for the CIA. What's your understanding of Chandray? Did you have any contact with him during that time?
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of contact with Jamie. Jamie was he actually worked for a company called Brown Enterprise. He was a video editor. He was also a camera guy, good with cameras. He worked as a filming, what do you call it, the editing part of filming.
Yeah.
The editing, editor of film. He did that for that company he actually worked for Paramount for a short period of time. It was a girlfriend, then he married her. She was involved with a person who was connected to Chinese intelligence. So Jamie agreed with the government, the intelligence community, to provide some information in a kind of a complex counter-espionage operation.
Okay.
And Jamie blew it all. He didn't do what he was told to do, and they terminated him. They said, you know what, you're not going to work for us anymore. So that's the closest Jamie ever got for working in intelligence, to the best of my knowledge.
But why do you think he got the document?
He also used drugs. He was also, he had psychological problems.
Okay.
He was found on a beach near Coronado Island where the Navy SEALs trained. He was found nude on the beach. Naval Shore Patrol or the police, Naval Police, because it was on a naval installation. They found him, and they, you know, he was unconscious. They didn't know who he was. They had no ID on him. So they sent him to a naval hospital, and they realized that he was not, you know, he wasn't military, and then they transferred him to San Diego, a hospital in San Diego. But Bill Moore called me and said, Jamie's in the hospital the hospital in San Diego, and that he's saying that he had been abducted by aliens, and he had been dropped off on a beach in Coronado Island on the naval base. Well, I listened to this. Bill Moore's telling me this. I said, you got to be kidding me. No. This is what happened. So I go out to San Diego. I go and meet with Jamie, and he's still in the hospital. He had burns on his body, and initially they didn't understand what the burns were, whether it were radiation burns or what it was. But I talked to Jamie. I said, what happened, Jamie? He said, I don't know. I just woke up on the beach. I didn't have any clothes on. The naval police caught me, and they asked me, well, what happened? I said, I didn't know. And now I'm starting to realize what has happened. He starts telling the story about being abducted by aliens, and they burnt him with radiation. Well, come to find out, the burn marks on his body were from heat lamps that he had somehow burnt himself. Because I got the FBI involved in this. I had talked to Naval Intelligence Service. They were investigating because they thought, well, what's this guy doing out here at the middle of a secure base where the Navy SEALs train? And they were actually training the night that he was doing they found him. And what's with this guy? So then the FBI gets involved in it, and they started doing a real detailed investigation on him. And they found somehow through forensics or whatever, that those burn marks were from a heat lamp. And so they did a search warrant on his house in Oceanside. He lived in Oceanside at that time, California.
Yeah.
They did a search warrant and found all these heat lamps, like 50 heat lamps all over his house.
Wow.
And so they put two and two together. This guy's cracked. So they, he's an idiot. And that's basically the end of my association with Jamie.
Yeah, I remember you telling a little bit of that story. What's the story with the crystal? I mean, this came up in UFO Cover Up Live. Was there any truth to this? Because I think in the last interview Moore did, he sort of referenced the fact that Jamie may have seen this, or was there any truth to the story about the alien crystal?
Well, it was they call it the crystal rectangle. It was an energy device that they found in Roswell. They thought it was a window. is a square, a rectangular shape, clear like plexiglass, with some protrusions and nodules on it. And they for the longest time, for many years, they thought it was just a window, because they couldn't figure it out. Well, sometime later, sometime in the 70s, when they were analyzing it, it started displaying these strange characteristics of being producing energy. Mm-hmm. And so then the government started testing it and found out that it was, in fact, an energy device, but they didn't understand how it worked. Now, Hal Puthoff actually did some testing on this to try to figure out if it worked. He thought on a zero point energy was what he was experimenting with at the time. And so that's what, and Jamie claims that the aliens that abducted him told him all about this energy device, but yeah, I don't believe that. I don't believe Jamie was ever abducted. I think he created that all.
Just a couple more questions, because you're probably busy. I talked to Bill. This was Bill Coleman came up with this story. You know, the whole, you know, UFO cover-up live Falcon debate. Bill Coleman said that when he was on the set, he met the actual Falcon, and that he was blown away that this guy was involved. He would never tell Billy Cox who it was. I asked Bill Moore, I said, was the actual Falcon there? And he said, well, let me just say there was 12 people in the audience, and that's all I'll say. So can you confirm that there was actually the head guy was there while they were filming this whole thing?
I wasn't there.
Oh, no, you weren't. I know you were pre-taped. But, I mean, the real Falcon, or the that's what... Because when Coleman said that he had met him, I said, well, it couldn't be Richard Doty, because Coleman would know who you were, but if it was somebody in DIA, I always thought Moore's guy was DIA, based upon a number of things Bill had told me. So that's when the story was that the real guy was actually there in the audience, and Bill said, well, there's only a couple of people, and I really don't want to comment on it, so he really didn't go there. And you were saying that the Falcon was Helms, so...
Well, listen to this, it's somewhat complex. What we within the intelligence community, the ones that are within the know, we identified the true person that actually was providing very detailed information about the subject matter to us as Richard Helms. We knew it. We met with him. We knew it. When we talked about the person that we knew was the real portrayer of the proof of the truth.
Yeah.
He was then called Falcon by the Avery people.
Yeah.
So we know, as far as we're concerned, the Falcon, or the one that actually started this or was the key figure in this, was Richard Helms. Now, there's a number of different other names people have identified with Falcon, and I don't know. I don't have anything to do with that. I just know the real Falcon was Richard Helms, and was he there at a UFO live cover up? Absolutely. I mean, that was already proven many, many, many years ago when a researcher is by the name of Catterick. I remember Stanley. I think his first name was Stanley Catterick. Catterick.
Okay.
He's long dead, but yeah. he was a UFO researcher out of he wasn't a UFO researcher. He was a editor for I believe a newspaper, or maybe he was something to do with a television station in Cleveland, in Ohio, and he became an amateur UFO enthusiast or fanatic. And he did a lot of really, really good work, footwork, spent a lot of money doing all sorts of investigations on people, including myself. He did a really long biographical sketch on me. But he figured out that the people in the audience that were seated in a special area were all intelligence people, and he identified one of them as being Richard Helms.
Okay, last question, and this goes to sort of the, I've made this claim and lots of people, you know, object to it, but what I've said is with the present situation with Tom DeLonge getting all these offers from high-level, you know, intelligence people and military people, and you have counterintelligence, you know, Elizondo there. To me, it almost looks like a replay of the Bill Moore thing. What do you think? What do you think's actually, are they feeding him stuff, trying to get it out, you know, half true, half false? Are they trying to get funding from Congress? Do you think there's any sort of connection to be made, the same sort of operation they were doing back in your day with Helms feeding this material?
There could be. I don't have anything to do with that. I just watch it and listen to it as an ordinary person would. I don't know. I try to stay away from it because there's so many conjectures going on. There's so many people saying one thing and another. There's so many discrepancies in what people are reporting.
Yeah.
My friends within the intelligence community that I keep close contact with, they're just staying away from it because I think there's a lot to this subject that is either being distorted in its release, or there's some kind of a government, interagency government operation that's involved. But I don't know to tell you the truth, I just don't know. And it doesn't look like a counterintelligence operation to me, because unless it's being run by amateurs, because it's not being, if it was a counterintelligence operation, there's a lot of flaws in it.
Okay, I appreciate it. I will maybe get in contact with if something else. There's a lot of stuff coming. Like, as I mentioned, I have the mandatory review thing on Moore's file. I've got the one that Bill filed in 88. So maybe when I hear back from them, you say I won't get it. And I probably agree with you. They're probably going to withhold it again. But I appreciate your insight on this, because I know I've watched you for 30 years, and I know you've always had had the inside track on what this is all about, so I appreciate your information.
Okay. All right, Grant.
Thanks a lot. We'll
take care.
Talk to you again. You bet.
Okay.
That's this week's episode of the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. I'm your host, Grant Cameron, hoping that you will join me for upcoming episodes. Links to my YouTube interviews, books, and my Facebook sites are in the show notes. If you love the podcast or learn something valuable, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or give a review on today's episode. If you would like a certain paranormal subject dealt with in the future, please let us know. Until next time, watch this space, and thank you so much for listening.